Okay, in Corinthians, we're going to talk about it over the next few weeks. This is a book that I have not studied verse by verse as far as really breaking it down since rightly dividing the word of truth. But there are some things that we need to understand before we go into this book. History and knowing who, what, when, and where is very important when you read your word. In saying that, being that since I have started rightly dividing and separating those things that Paul wrote and those things that I used to think that I was Israel, which I am not. This book is not as easy because I used to could just move where I wanted to and say what I wanted to. You can't do that anymore. Corinthians is known, as a lot of people say, as a book of reproof. A book of where this group is being reproofed or being corrected. And what you got to know the history is they were known as a lot of times a lot of immorality. They were worshiping in the temples, or in the churches. There were female goddesses. If I could pick a picture, have you seen the commercial? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. If I could just think of something that we could draw a picture of, that's what I would think of. If you study the history of the people that were in Corinth, there were lady priests that were in Corinthians, and what they really were temple prostitutes. I mean, this is the stuff that was going on. And that was the style of the city. This city down on the coast, and there were many that would come from, I believe, Greece and from other areas and do a lot of trading there. So it's a very busy city, a very popular place, and is very immoral. When I thought about that, I said, in the letter, Paul wrote something in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at verse 2. Notice what the Apostle Paul says as he wrote to these people. He says, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." So there's a lot of idolatry here, a lot of issues that Paul is writing about. And one thing as we go into this book, I don't know why, but sometimes I get in a habit of reading one of these letters and thinking that that's going on, you know, right, like Paul's writing it while he's there. Okay? We need to remind ourselves that Paul has already gone into Corinthians. Lives have been changed. People have grasped this grace message that Paul is sharing. Okay? They've gotten a hold of it. And this letter was written later. Okay? And you can find this. We'll go back a little bit and find this in Acts. And it got very interesting to me when I think of it that way. Is a picture of a lot of people can grasp this truth, but they can fall right back into what they need not be in, or they never change their lifestyle. Okay, and if you'll remember what I read earlier, it's a little more mind-boggling to me as you go back to 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 1, look at verse 8 again. I just told you what kind of people these people were and what is going on. And yet Paul has written this letter and he had already been there and lives have been changed. But notice, with all this that I just told you, with the idolatry, with the priests that were prostitutes, with the things that were going on in the temple, notice what Paul says. I don't think you can get a more beautiful picture of grace. And he says, "Who shall also confirm you unto the end that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, visually, as we see things, we think, how dare them? Or, I can't believe they would live that way. Or, I can't believe the immorality. There are people that were engulfed in this, okay, that were saved, okay, that had grasped the grace message. And you know what? When the time comes of the day of the Lord, you know what they'll be? Blameless. Tell me, I mean, that's a beautiful picture of grace in itself. I mean, that is... But let's also remind ourselves that we are a society that is really big about looking on the outside. I mean, I'm guilty of that. I can see a person on the outside and think, that's a really good person. You know, but the issue is what's on the inside. The issue are the things that are in. You know it? And so there are a lot of people today that really look good on the outside that seem to be good people that are just as immoral as these people were when it comes to Christ. Because we're all blameless if you're saved. You realize that no matter where you're at with your life with Christ, you're in a position that because of grace, when that day of the Lord comes, you're blameless. And these people were too, that had grasped this grace, that were saved by trusting in what Christ did. And I just think that's an interesting thing to think about, because when I tell you about this, you think how nasty, how gross, how evil. There was a lot of that. There's a lot of it here too today. It's just a lot of covering on the outside. A lot of fake people. By the way, there are many pastors today in churches that stand behind pulpits that are as lost as a goose. There are many that stand behind the pulpits that I believe are saved, but have added things to their doctrine that are untruths. There are many today that are in churches that are so into idolatry by entertainment or by different ways that is just as bad as this is when it comes to those things of Christ. Because there's no excuse. So, a lot of times we look at this and we think, well, we're not so bad. We're every bit as bad when it comes to our flesh and the things of the flesh. But that's a beautiful picture of grace. If you look at verse 6, and why I say these are people that had grasped this truth, it says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Paul is writing a letter to people that are engulfed in idolatry, and the testimony of Christ was confirmed in them. And verse 7 says, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that verse is a beautiful verse when it comes to grace. I really do. Just a perfect example. So we see this. It was a worship, I guess you could say, as you study this, it was of sexuality. There are people that were worshiping sexuality that had been confirmed in knowing the testimony of Christ. When did Paul write this letter in Corinthians? It's a good thing to notice. I believe he's in Ephesus, and I'm going to show you a couple things so we'll know. If you go to Acts 19, because I want to tell you, I can go through this and through this, but if it's possible down the road that you can take notes, and you'll go back over those notes, it'll blow your mind how much you... The only reason I can remember some stuff is because I write it down over and over and over again. Chris will tell you, I can waste a lot of paper. It just sits at the desk, and it'll pile up. And sometimes I grab it and I throw it away. But because I've written it and written and written it, I feel like I know a lot of it. And other times I forget it. I can't tell you how important it is if you are capable of taking notes and looking at those notes. A lot of people say, I don't know how to study the Bible. I don't know how to, you know, when I get in it, I can't. If you take notes and go home and study those notes, you'll start learning those things. I had to do it the hard way. That was me. I had to do it the hard way that way, but it really helps me. So, I don't know. I'd love to see tables in front of all these chairs where you guys could set your arms up and take notes of whatever's said or write questions down. I think it would be healthy. Because the reason I say that is because we're backing up now to Acts, not in Corinthians. We're talking about the Corinthians. It's good to know the history. When you read this letter, you know what had went on. And that's a big importance as you study your Bible to know these things. In Acts chapter 19, let's go to verse 1. And the second time I'm going to skip some. But in Acts 19 it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. And skip on down to verse 8 through 10. It says, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So we know in this period, Paul has been speaking in the synagogues to Jews and to Greeks in Acts chapter 19, verse 1 and verse 8 through 10. Now hold your place here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. So you can go back to Acts 19 and see almost pretty much where he has written this letter. Okay, and I'll explain a little bit more here. Look what it says. What advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. If you go back to Acts chapter 19, you see he's dealing with that. There's the Acts of the Apostles. In Acts chapter 19, Paul is dealing with this, and you see what he's writing about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 30 through 34. So we see as Paul's writing this letter, there are some things that we need to remind ourselves that are still in place. Because we see that he's talking to Jews and to Greeks. Okay? And we also notice he's going into the synagogues. Okay? So Israel is still in place, you can tell, at this point. That flock is not dissipated yet. Israel is still in place. But they're at the synagogue, so that flock is no longer at the synagogue. Paul is teaching these things to those who are still following the law. In other words, Israel at this point, we know, has stumbled. We know they've fallen. Okay, but they're not gone yet. Go to Acts chapter 18. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Well, that flock knew that Jesus was the Christ. That flock's not here. But the issue, remember what the Jews believed. They didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. They were going on with their Sabbath rituals, with what they were to do. And so Paul, at this time, is here, and he's going in the synagogues, and he's sharing that Jesus was the Christ. A lot of people will say, well, see, he's preaching what Peter preached. No, he wasn't. The issue with these Jews, they didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. They would never grasp his message, okay, of the revelation that was given to him if they didn't believe Jesus was the Christ. So we got to know that. So this is just kind of a time period, and there's a lot of names you're going to see in this letter that are important for us to see, but we need to look who's involved before this letter is written. Guess who it is? It's saved and unsaved people. There's Jews and there's Gentiles. There's confused people and there's spiritual people and there's carnal people. So there's a lot. When he's writing this letter, before this letter that he writes, before he goes through Corinthians, there's a lot of people that are involved in this letter. One key to this letter is to know that Paul is also answering a letter that came to him. So when he wrote this letter, now this is the neat thing. And this letter comes to Paul, and Paul writes this letter back in 1 Corinthians, and it's God-inspired. I just think that's kind of cool. See, God's Word is perfect. And this letter that Paul answers, okay, is from God. I just think that's another neat thing to notice. I'll give you an example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 11. Paul says, "For it hath been declared unto me." So Paul's writing about something that has been declared unto him, okay? He says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." Now go to chapter 7 and look at verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. It says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." And the women said, I figured y'all would say amen. Anyway, so we say he's writing things that were brought to his attention. Okay? Chapter 8, look at verse 1. "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." Now what's he say? "Now as touching things offered unto idols." This "now," he's bringing things that were written or that were brought to him, his attention, and he's writing a letter about those things that were brought to his attention, that he's in Ephesus. So Look at chapter 12 in verse 1. What's he say right off the bat? Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So he's writing this letter. He's gone through Corinthians. It's an immoral area, but there are people that had changed. And there are different people there. And there's a lot going on. And he's gotten this letter from these people, from Chloe. And he's writing about these things concerning what they've discussed with him. In 16, look at chapter 16. What's he say right off the bat? Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So he's writing about these things that are being concerned about. Okay, he's gotten this letter and he's writing these things back. But we know that it's God-inspired, that it's written through God. Somebody has written to him, but we never know really. I don't think there's anywhere I could find that we know who wrote this to him. But that's what we know about this letter of Corinthians. This letter would probably go from one assembly to another, more than likely. And the person I found interest in that I've just always skimmed through it before, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. I thought this was very interesting. There are people, you'll see Jews who have grasped this grace message. Paul says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. And I believe Sosthenes was one that was spreading this letter out that Paul had wrote back, and we'll see that later on. We don't know who, but the reason I say that, hold your place here and go to chapter 16 again and look at verse 15 through 17. I beseech you, brethren, Paul wants them to get this letter. He is begging them. Look, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. Well, they need to change their names. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. And a lot of people, and I don't know if this is true or not, the Sosthenes and the Stephanas, they say, could be the same people. I don't know. It doesn't matter. There were people who were going to bring this letter out and they were going to pass it through the assemblies. But what I found interesting with Sosthenes that he gives comment to in verse 1 is the simple fact that I thought, who in the world is this guy? And you can read about him in Acts chapter 18. I mean, and when I read it, I thought, wow, this is interesting. Before we get there, you're at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's read verse 1 through 3. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. There's these that are separated, okay? That live a separated, they're sanctified in Christ Jesus. Called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Right off the bat, we see Paul was called to be an apostle, and he followed nobody else's as far as other disciples, Peter and the rest. Paul was called to be an apostle by Jesus Christ Himself. And if you hold your place here and you look at Galatians 1:1, I'm just showing you some scriptures to go back and forth to that can be very important in proving the scriptures. Galatians 1:1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle, but look what he says here. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So we know that Paul was called to be an apostle, he didn't get it from Peter, he didn't get it from James, he didn't get it from John, he didn't get it from anybody else, but by Christ Himself. And that's what he's mentioning here in 1 Corinthians also. But it's important for us to know this letter that he's writing back. He's defending who he is. And every letter Paul has, he's constantly defending who he is, because there are Judaizers in there that want to mix what his revelation is. And it wasn't a gospel at all if they were. So, we see that. But go back in closing. Go to Acts chapter 18. And now you know a little bit about Corinthians and about this letter that we're about to go in, is my hope. I know we've gone back and forth a lot, but I think it's important that we see what's going on about this letter that he's written. And in Acts chapter 18, we're just going to read through this real quick, and you're going to see this Sosthenes. Okay? In Acts chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens, and what did he do? He came to Corinth." So we knew if he wrote a letter to the Corinthians about what he heard going on, we know that letter hadn't been written here, right? Because he's just now going to Corinth, right? And it says, "And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers." Now, in Acts, where does Paul always go to? To the Jew. He wanted them to understand and grasp this message because they weren't part of the flock anymore. Peter and them were no longer, they weren't in the temple. Okay? And he says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ." See, Paul's going in there because they didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah, and they were going through their same rituals. In verse 6 it says, "And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." Verse 7, "And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized." Now, you're going to see this in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians where he mentions Crispus about who he baptized. Okay? And then he says in verse 9, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Now when I read this, I didn't realize nobody harmed Paul, but man, they beat Sosthenes up. And I got kind of tickled. I thought, man, the guy's in two places in the whole Bible that I notice, and he gets beat up, and then Paul mentions him in a letter at 1 Corinthians. You know what? He must have grasped this message of grace. And Paul was going to the Jews at this time. But notice it says, "And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." Now verse 12 says, "And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat." Now they didn't like Paul, because Paul, first of all, told them that this Jesus was the Christ. Okay, he wanted them to understand, if they didn't believe that, they wouldn't believe anything. And so they pressed Paul. They got in Paul's face. Okay? And it says that they made insurrection with one accord against Paul. They all came together. Now, I want you to get this picture. All these Jews came together in one accord, and they're going to go to Gallio against Paul. What does that sound like? What did all the Jews do when Christ walked the earth? They came in one accord, and they pressed, and who'd they take them to? But they took them to Herod, right? And they wanted something done about it, right? But notice what, it's just a neat, it's really an ugly picture, but it's a beautiful picture because it's because of grace with us today. But he says in verse 13, "Saying, This fellow persuadeth men to worship God." What's the issue? "Contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio," remember what Christ said, nobody's going to harm you, "Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason with that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. You know what Gallio's saying? Look, this guy hasn't done anything wrong. There's nothing lewd he's done. But it's the issue of he said, she said. He says, and you take this into your own hands. What a picture. It's exactly what happened with Christ, you know. And he goes on, he says in verse 16, and he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things. In other words, he just turned his head. So Sosthenes got beaten because of this. And we'll go into that deeper later. But evidently, what's he saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Who's writing the letter? Paul is, and who else? Sosthenes. Okay, I think that's just, it's kind of neat how you can find history and you can go to that book of Corinthians and see where he wrote the letter, what had gone on before. Even though we don't know who wrote the questions, what we do know, there was a lot of immorality and stuff going on for people who had grasped this message had been confirmed. Regardless, when Christ comes back, they're going to be found blameless. You know what? You are too, if you're saved. That's a beautiful picture, because I'm going to tell you what, I am not a blameless person. There are a lot of things in my flesh that are ugly. You know, even things I think, things I do. Paul talked about being selfish, things I'm selfish about. But you know what? It is so awesome to know. You know, we look at our lives and sometimes we get a habit of thinking, well, I'm a pretty good guy. Well, anything in the flesh is nothing good at all when it comes to Christ. But you know what? Even these idolaters, these who were dealt with harlotry, these who were prostitutes, all these things that didn't stop what they were doing, that had grasped this message of Christ, you know what? In the day of the Lord, you know what? They're going to be what? Blameless. I don't know about you, but that is enough motivation for me. That is enough for me to rejoice in the fact of knowing. If I could keep that in front of me, I wish I could, because you know something will happen today, and I'll wake up tomorrow, you know, and I won't think about this. But if I could understand the grace and the love of Christ by us that are so filthy, that He still loves us, and He died for our sins, and our sins aren't the issue, and that. That day, the Lord, you know what? We're blameless because of Him. We got a lot to rejoice about. Because probably when we leave here, a lot of us fill our days full of just stuff that is not important. And a lot of it's probably idolatry. We could probably say it's almost idolatry, things that we're just consumed with that have nothing to do with that of Christ. Wouldn't you say? But you know, at the end of the day, we're found blameless. That's awesome. Do me a favor. This book's not that long. There's a lot of it's 16 chapters. Read like 5 chapters of this letter every day for a week. If you can do that and just grasp some of the things that are going on, that's what we're going to talk about over the next 4 weeks. I'm going to skim through a little bit. One question that intrigued me, I called Mark last night. I want you to look at and study it, because I don't have an exact answer yet that really got me. And I think I know, but I'm not going to say. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. I even talked to Steve. Steve said, I never noticed that before. Steve not noticed something? It's kind of scary. Verse 2 says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. I don't get that. Yeah, I want to say, Mark made the comment, you know, that they're all sanctified. If you study it, it brings it together as all ours. I mean, the definition doesn't bring it out good. And then I had thought towards both theirs and ours, as you know, even those he was talking to Jews and Greeks in this letter. So it's interesting, real interesting. It's an interesting. It just hit me like 2 nights ago.
Well, because the rest of the chapter Paul talks about this division between Donald and Paul, it's not a Christ.
That's right. Here.
He said, buddy, we're all sanctified, whether it be them or us.
That's right. And that's one of the things I see. And we'll talk about that. But also, Acts 18, you'll notice where Paul says in chapter 1 here that he's talking about those of Paul, like Mark saying, of Paul, of Apollos, of Peter, of Jesus. The issue is there's a lot of division. And the issue is about Christ, about Paul's message. And so, it'd be interesting.